On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh my God, guys! Oh my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Matt Robinson with you from our studios here in Bytown, Canada. It is Friday afternoon, and for most of the country, headed towards a long weekend. We thought we would try and drop one more show on you for your commute to wherever you may be headed to spend that long weekend. We're going to get into some Olympic talk, as promised earlier on, with Canadian Paralympian Amy Burke. We thought we would do this a couple times throughout the games. If you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, earlier on over at tallcanaudio.com or on your podcast feeds, we have another episode of this show up with Amy, where she takes us behind the scenes at an opening ceremony at the Olympic Village, things like that, places she's been there, done that, knows what's up, has some funny stories about it, and she took us through all of that. So check that out if you haven't had a chance to do so yet. In the meantime, as I said, some new stuff talking about the last couple days at the Olympics. Canada's on a little bit of a roll. We thought we would get Amy back on the show again to talk about it, to send you into your long weekend. So we'll do that right after this.
Take a breath now, I'll begin again. Open your eyes, please, turn your smile on. Realign with now as well. You start freaking out, wishing you were peeking out. Hold it together now, instead of leaking out. Turn your smile on, turn your smile up right. Remember the days when your laughter was meant. Remember the days when you did what she said. Count the days till you get high again. Chill out, be easy on yourself.
And as promised, our pal Amy Burke is back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you sick again? Still?
Well, I wouldn't say again. I think still is a better word.
All right. Last time we talked, I thought you were on the mend.
I did too, until about 2 days later it got worse. Mm. It's like the 3 week cold or something.
I see.
I'm sure everyone's concerned.
I'm sure everyone has it.
This is actually really true.
Last night I was out somewhere and I was with four people, and all of them were in various stages of either just getting it, having it, or just getting over it.
And they're not really getting over it. It's going to hit them again because it lasts for 3 weeks.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been kind of buckled down here in my house, and anytime I go out, I kind of bathe in hand sanitizer and, you know, try and do the best I can. I had one in the fall that was awful. I'm not getting this one. I'm just not.
Well, we should be happy that this isn't the flu, at least.
Yeah, well. As we sit here and record this, it's Friday afternoon, so I don't know. I've lost track. I guess day six is in the books over in Pyeongchang. Let's start with curling. I know you're a bit of a fan, I believe, of Rachel Holman. Is that correct?
I am a fan.
She's kind of not doing all that good over there. 0-3 at the time that we record this. The only team there so far without a win. And I don't know all the curling rules and etiquette and things like that, but apparently she was catching some flack this morning for removing a rock in a certain way. It was unsportsmanlike. I don't know. She's clearly frustrated. And like I said, as the only team without a win, it's not impossible for them to come back and still make the playoffs, but it doesn't look good.
She's definitely running out of matches, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And for the burned rock thing,
yeah.
Burnt rock?
Yep.
I never heard of it either. I mean, I like curling, but I don't know all of the little things about it.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I heard of it too. So the Danish skip there was losing her mind over it. But Rachel Holman said that the opponent touched the rock, so therefore it's fine for her to remove. And since I didn't get to see it live, I have no clue.
So I saw the video clip, and apparently if it crosses a certain line, you can remove it. If you haven't, you can't. And I guess it's just like an etiquette thing, and I guess it's the way she did it.
She did it on the next rock or something.
And the Danish skip kind of said to her, I had a feeling karma would come back to get you. So apparently she hasn't liked her for a while. Like, this is a...
I kind of liked how ballsy the skip was there in her interview post-match with the... saying like they were expecting to go 0-3 after playing Canada because they're such a dominant country in the sport. And poor Holman, they just didn't want to be 0-3. So they're playing so tentative and they're just I am no way in any shape or form good at curling.
No.
I throw the rock too hard. I don't throw it good. I don't throw it hard enough. Like it doesn't make the house. It just doesn't get over the hog line. Like it's awful. But... like, she's missing shots that looks like I feel like I would have a chance of hitting. I feel so bad for her, though, because I first time at the Olympics.
World stage.
Yeah, like, she's a world champion, but the Olympics is so much more pressure.
For sure. Everybody's watching.
So, yeah, it definitely seems like she's getting the Olympic jitters.
Yeah, I saw a great tweet this morning. It was a guy that said, oh, come on, my little sister would have hit that. And then, like, 3 minutes later, he come back and he's like, okay, I understand you people don't know me or my sister. She's 4 years old.
No. I feel so bad because she's going to get a ton of flack from everyone
about
it.
This is it. But, aside from hockey, this is our deal, right? The curling's what we do. That was one of the medals that COC's banking on. That's, is a mess.
Yeah. Exactly. But, like you said, she's not completely eliminated out of the playoffs yet, but she's pretty damn close to it. From what I also saw, their coach that they brought in 2 years ago is more on the mental preparation of the game and less on the actual curling itself.
Okay.
So he apparently was sitting down with them tonight to figure out how they are going to get past this mental block, because I think that's really all it is.
They're
panicking because they're down. Well, they were down 0-2, and Canada has never been down 0-3 before. So,
And I saw that there was a players-only closed-door meeting as well. Normally, you hear about those in the NHL or MLB or whatever, but I guess the curling teams will do it too. And just because they're tense with each other, you can see them snapping at each other or not talking at all. Like it's a mess over there, pretty clearly. And interesting in comparison with the men, Kui is undefeated at this point, I believe. So.
He's 4-0.
They're doing what they're supposed to do, carrying their end of it. What else has, I know you said you haven't caught as much as you were hoping to. Has anything else thus far jumped out at you?
You know what? Okay, so the figure skating has been blowing my mind.
Really, eh?
Like, I don't like dance. I suck on skates. But it is so neat to just sit there and watch them. Like, when I was sitting in PEI with my dad there, they're just going, and I don't know how they can stand up after. Like, they're doing these weird bends that I could only imagine.
Yeah.
My leg. my leg doesn't do that.
And they're doing it just standing on two little knives. You could do it in running shoes and not do it properly.
I could do it in running shoes and bust both my ankles.
Right.
So it's just like, oh man, the figure skating though, I think is so fun to watch just because it's like, it's just, it's so cool. And it's neat to see our people win.
Well, we won the team event. We just pulled
and a bronze in the pair
pairs.
Event there.
Yeah. I can't ever remember the difference between pairs and ice dance, but, our mutual friend, Jeff, used to go and see a chiropractor who told him that your sport that both you and Jeff play is the second hardest sport on the human spine that he's ever seen. And Jeff asked him what the first one was, and he said it's figure skating. And Jeff looked at him and kind of asked, and the guy said, well, all those crazy jumps and throws and everything that they do, you don't land those perfectly the first time. Like, you get thrown onto the ice or into the boards, or there's a lot of abuse that you take getting chucked around in not much padding in some of those little outfits.
I feel like gymnastics would be up there as well.
Yeah, that's probably a good point too, but they're landing on mats instead of ice, so.
Well, it's kind of like, okay, I was sitting here thinking last night, so this is away from the figure skating, but Luge is cool.
Yeah.
And I've been sitting, like, I've been showing Lucas Luge, because, I mean, who doesn't like going down
sure,
a fast
sledding,
hill on a sled?
Yeah.
And, well, the skeleton came on.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people have guts to do that. But then I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, so I don't know the difference between luge and skeleton other than going head first.
Right. Isn't that it?
I think so.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't want to be the one
sure.
that just says
fair
it
enough.
Is. What makes you decide you no longer want to go down the ice feet first? You
balls
want to be
first.
Crazy
yeah.
and go down head first.
There was a great line I saw someone had again during this. It goes, I think the reason that the Winter Olympics is so much fun and so amazing to us is that the average Joe, like you just said about the figure skating, looks at the Summer Olympics and goes, I could do that. I couldn't do it well, but I could do the Winter Olympics. We all know we would
I
die.
Can't do any
we
of
would
that.
Die literally doing all of them. And he goes, he's like, giant slalom, die. Bobsled, die. I don't know, some other half pipe, die.
Snowboarding half pipe,
and
broke
then,
my neck.
And he goes, luge, die. Skeleton, head first, die. Right? Like, it's unreal how fast they get going down the. I'm the same way on the giant downhill because. I mean, on TV, it doesn't do it justice. They're doing over 100 kilometers an hour down the hill with nothing but skis and then their body, right? Like, when they bail, it's...
Well, yeah, that's freaking hard. It's like one of the... I don't know if you caught it or not, but during the luge run, there was a Polish athlete.
Oh, I did.
It was minus 18, so he puts his coat on because, you know, it's bloody chilly.
Yeah.
And gets up to the top of the track and gets his coat off and then only realizes that his shield fell off his helmet and he didn't notice.
Ooh.
So he now has to go down the track at minus 18. It was minus 18, feels like minus 23, I think.
And you're flying through that wind.
At 134 kilometers an hour he went.
Oh my God.
He did the whole race basically blinded because his eyes watered instantly.
Oh, yeah.
And then they froze over.
Oof.
And it was just like nuts. As soon as he got to the finish line, he just sits up and like grabs his eyes to get the ice out of his eyes. And then he was all pretty excited on how his run went because he couldn't see.
Well, because he survived it.
Well, and he crashed hard into the side once. But
right.
It was just like, man, that's 134 kilometers an hour. I think they said it's 5G force.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And that's got to be so hard on the neck because your sled has... no head support. You're just holding your neck, but you got to be perfectly aligned in order to get your speed. And
well, one of the guys doing the commentary on that is John Montgomery, who's the guy from Vancouver.
He's doing the skeleton. I saw that last night.
Yeah. He's, for those who don't remember, he's the guy from Vancouver who won the
also
skeleton.
The host of Amazing Race Canada.
Sure. Was the guy who took the beer pitcher from someone walking through Whistler before he went up to be interviewed and get his medal and stuff. So he's kind of the infamous, and he's doing that. And on one of the races that I saw, I think early this morning, they said the play-by-play guy is talking about this noise. You keep hearing this clack, 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 kind of as they're going down. And it's just faint, but you can hear it. He goes, you know, I wonder if that's like a rivet in the ice or the track or whatever. And John Montgomery goes, I'm sorry, man, but that's his face. Like his teeth and his whatever as he's going down. It's not that they're banging into stuff, but it's just that force on your face is... Your teeth chatter and loudly, right? And all these things happen to you as you're going down at that force. It's unreal.
All I can picture right now is a dog's face hanging out of a car with their face just like blowing back from the wind.
Exactly. But just to hear him so casually, you know, try and explain, yeah, no, that's not the track you're hearing. That's that guy's face.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah, see, I couldn't do it. I'm excited for the bobsled to start because I think Lucas is going to like that just because it's a giant sled.
Big sled, yeah.
With four people in it, so.
That'll be cool. Did you see my Twitter bobsled team?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there was a thing on Twitter where you're supposed to hit the at symbol. And the first couple of people who pop up are your bobsleigh teams. This is supposed to be like one of those funny jokes. And so I ended up with all of them TCA people. You, me, Maddie Lang, and Nate Sager are apparently we are losing badly.
I feel like not only are we lacking in leg power, I feel like we're all going to be well over the weight limit to
Maddie,
make our sled go fast.
Maddie will be okay. He'll lighten it up for us a little bit.
Yeah, but the rest of us...
He's going to have to drive. I think I said that. Hashtag, it's crowded in here or something.
Oh, yeah. We would need a big ass. Although the men bobsledders have to be pretty tall. But they're also toothpicks.
Well, and it's funny. Some of them are big boys, right? Like, one guy... His name was Jesse Lumsden, and he was a running back for the Edmonton Eskimos, and he was having some problems with concussions and some injury issues, so he had to retire from Canadian football, and within a year, he was doing bobsled, because he just had this unreal lower body, right, that would, but that's a big boy who's used to blasting through defensive linemen and stuff, so all of a sudden, you're trying to fit that guy in your bobsled. It's a little bit of a different approach, I would imagine. I wanted to ask you, I assume you didn't, unless you caught it on a replay, but the other night was Canada-USA women's hockey, started at 10 p.m. I know that's like 3 hours after your bedtime, so.
It was about a half hour after my bedtime, thank you.
Before the game started, and it was an awesome game, to me it's the most fun thing I've seen at the Olympics so far. Obviously these two teams, you know, some of them go to school together and they have relationships or whatever, but on the ice it is brutal and it's... they do not like each other. And this was a hell of a hockey game.
It's your big North American rivalry.
It's one of my, it might be my favorite rivalry in sports in general, right? Not just women's sports, not just hockey. Like, it's unreal. There's never a bad game between them. So before that game fired up, Cassie Campbell, who's doing color commentary, former captain of the Canadian women's team, and she's talking about, she's awesome. And so she's talking about the gold medal game in Sochi, which if, for those of you who don't remember, the USA had a 2-0 lead with 3 minutes left. Canada comes back and ties it and wins it in overtime. Apparently, Cassie Campbell tells the story that one of the US players got a little out of hand late in the third period and did something that you just don't do, and that motivated Canada. And Mark Lee, her broadcast partner, well, after Cassie's done talking, he goes, I understand with your situation and your relationships, and you don't want to say it, I'll say it. And he goes, Megan Duggan, the captain of the Americans, skated by the Canadians and said, how does it feel? You're going to lose. And all of a sudden, Canada gets one, and then Poulin ties it up, and then, you know, Haley Wickenheiser gets pulled down on the breakaway in overtime. That's a penalty, and on the power play, Canada wins it. At some point,
you don't say that.
I was going to ask you, because I think you'll admit in your sport and maybe just in life in general, you're a bit of a mouthpiece. You're kind of lippy and you're not afraid to.
I really am.
You're not afraid to chirp with the opponent. Do we make too much out of that stuff in terms of it motivating you if someone were to talk to you that way? Or is that like a real thing that can fire up a top end athlete?
No, it's for sure a real thing.
I mean, it's a great story.
I mean, it's awesome that they came back and won too.
Yeah.
But you don't tell anyone how does it feel you're going to lose, because, like, at least if you're going to do it, you shoot with like 5 seconds left when there's no chance for them to come back and win. But yeah, no, you literally just made your bed, because the next, whatever time is left in that game is going to be a living hell.
Right.
Because anyone who has a competitive attitude or competitive nature to them, like, watch out, because they're going to try to fucking blow you out.
And it's a brutal rivalry, and all over the world championships, all kinds of time, the USA has had Canada's number. But at the Olympics, since 1998, they haven't beaten Canada when it counts. And to finally be that close to that moment and do something like that, you'd think, you know, how much do you have to hate your opponent to, for that to even cross your mind as something you want to do, right? Like if you're just beating some other team or whatever, but it's always me versus you in every gold medal game. And yeah, this time it's mine. I've beaten you. And then, oh fuck, I haven't, right? Like,
here well, comes. And then see, at the end of it, Poulin there should have skated by them and they're, you know, during handshake and just be like, how's it feel? You suck again. See, that would be something I'd do.
Yes, I'm getting that.
Not so much, you know.
To have that story told just before the game really framed it up nice. And I mean, it was a hell of a hockey game. And there's almost no doubt they'll face each other again in the gold medal game. It'll be unreal, right? I'm a little nervous about that just because it's tough to beat someone twice, right? Back to back. The team that loses invariably is the more motivated team, is the team that makes the most adjustments. I'm happy we got this win, but I almost would have been okay with it if we lost a tight one in the round robin and then in the gold medal game, you know, here.
Shut them up.
Really ready to rock. I don't know, but that'll be a good one. Anything else stood out for you over the first few days here?
Well, I don't know if this is how it is normally. I meant to go and look it up, but I feel like Canada's dominating right now. In general. Like, I don't know if we're normally really high up in the medal standings.
Yeah, we've got
we won in third, last I checked.
Yeah, last I saw was
at
fourth,
Vancouver,
but they keep.
We won.
Yep.
That was because the gold medal hockey game topped us up there.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, and it's interesting. The countries that are up near the top, Norway is there.
Germany,
always a contender. Even the Netherlands, but they're getting all theirs out of speed skating, and I want to get to that in a second. But yeah, we're hanging right there, and we've gotten some medals that I don't think we were expecting. Like, we got our first ever medal in Luge. We've never gotten a medal out of Luge before, right? So that's...
They got two medals out of Luge,
yeah,
actually.
Then they went on and got the relay, or a team kind of one. I think it was called a relay. I'm not really sure how that one
went. Yeah, it's a team relay.
And so, I mean, that was something that I'm assuming they weren't banking on those, right? But it all evens out because they were obviously banking on a women's curling medal, and maybe that's not going to come. So,
well, she plays USA on Saturday.
Well, and that's probably not going to be an easy one, right? I'm not aware of the curling world rankings off the top of my head, but the Americans seem unlikely to be a slouch, right? So,
yeah.
But you're right. That it every day, every morning you wake up and you're like, oh, there's two or three more, right? It's been really cool to see, you know, that we're hanging tough. All that extra money that we poured into Vancouver has kind of faded away and people are still getting it done, right? So it's kind of fun. I had one more, if you don't mind. Ted, I'm not sure how to pronounce this first name, but it's Ted Jan Blomen.
Blomen.
Yeah.
Blomen.
Gold medal for Canada at the 10,000 meter long track, speed skating, 35 laps, I think. And it looks
23. I think it's 23.
They're going like, I still think I'm right, but either way, it's a lot. when
well,
you look at
divide,
it, they're so,
hold on. Let's do some math.
Yeah. You do that while I,
No, I can't do math and listen at the same time.
Well, the thing is, we don't know exactly how long the oval is, so you can't do the math.
It's 400 meters. It's 400 meters.
Now you've totally thrown me off. As they're doing it, it looks so smooth. But everything I've read, everything I've heard, is that by the end of that, obviously, your legs are just burning, right? Lactic acid going crazy. Your lungs are just calling out for air. As you know, you just have to keep this same pace, and that's the way it is. They make such a big deal out of each lap, right? What his time is on each lap.
So fast, and
that was the thing about this, was he kept almost like a metronome, right? Of 30 seconds, right around 30 seconds every single time, without fail, coming around, and unbelievably, his fastest four laps were the last four. And his fastest lap of the whole thing was the last one. Like, to still have that in the tank was unreal. And so he's sitting in the gold medal position with one guy to go. And his name is Sven Kramer from the Netherlands. and he is the world champion. He's the big dog in this event.
He's the king. He's the king.
Yeah, and he's the world record holder, all these sorts of things. And so you're guaranteed a medal, but you're – and I'm watching it, and I don't know what I'm looking for as much as some of these other experts, obviously, and people calling the race. But he's having a hard time, and he's kind of falling off the pace. And by the end of it, he'd basically given up.
He was doing 32-second laps by the end of it.
Yeah, I think with like 15 laps to go or 10 laps to go, he was still only like 2 seconds back. And by the end, he finished like 20 seconds back.
Yeah, something stupid like
which
that.
Which is a horrible fall off. So the interesting story about Blumen, I can't remember how we're pronouncing this. I've seen it and heard it a bunch of different ways, is he's from the Netherlands. Only moved to Canada 5 years ago. Never really felt a part of the team over in the Netherlands. Never really felt, I don't know if it's welcome, but definitely didn't feel like he belonged, and moved to Canada and immediately felt welcomed and loved, in his own words, and like he was a part of this, and it reinvigorated his love for the sport. And so to end up going back and racing, you know, for gold, this other guy from the Netherlands who you kind of left and never felt like, and that would have been, I was reading, they said that event was probably the biggest sporting event of the year in the Netherlands. It's the Super Bowl. It's the, you know, whatever, the gold medal race, the final for long track speed skating in the Netherlands would have been, that's what they're known for, right? That's their big deal. And it's a hell of a story to know that your friends and family from back there would have been watching, and then the rest of the country. And, you know, this, that would have been a huge story in the Netherlands.
People are getting pissed that they're raising a red and white flag, yeah, instead of the.
So that was the other thing as an athlete I wanted to ask you about. Is there any less? I should mention that in the last year or two, he became a Canadian citizen. So he's not just, you know, hanging out and using our training, yeah, facilities. This clearly meant something to him. But is there any less? I don't know, pride's the wrong word, but to be taken out of this one, that, you know, maybe he's not really one of ours. I know that sounds like a shitty thing to say. He kind of was trained by someone else. You know, any feelings on that?
You know, I think because he's a Canadian citizen,
yeah,
and our country is very well known to have multicultural,
yep,
you know, all that type of thing. It's just, I would totally take it as if he were Canadian.
When he did choose to come here, and he chose to become a citizen, and, you know, that there's something to that. He said he felt welcome here and loved here, right? So,
and I mean, who doesn't feel welcome here?
It was a hell of a story. One of my favorite parts of it is that security went into the stands during his race because his wife and family were cheering so loudly that they had to go and ask them to please calm down. And they were like, no, we're not going to stop yelling and screaming. And I guess they were going so crazy that people complained, and security had to come and try and talk to them, which is just amazing.
Oh,
right?
That's so nice.
Yeah. It's been a fun few days.
I saw them do a quick shot of his family there, and they all are, you know, waving the Canadian flag and everything too. I didn't realize he was from the Netherlands.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've fully adopted.
That's kind of cool. I thought it was pretty cool. Cause, maybe I misunderstood it then. Maybe it was, he came here in 2014.
I think that's right.
Okay. See, I heard it as, he started skating at 2014.
No, I believe he was already kind of doing it and sort of a part of the team in the Netherlands, but it just wasn't really working out. And he came here in 2014. To Calgary, and has trained there ever since, has been a part of the Canadian team. And, yeah, it's kind
of
look
good on him.
It's a neat story. It really is.
Yeah. There's no way in hell I could do 10K in 12 minutes.
No, I don't think that's,
well, and it's
give you a little, like, snowmobile out there.
Yeah. Oh man. More than a snow. No, put me on a sled with someone riding the snowmobile.
Yeah, no, this, I thought that one was a lot of fun. It's weird. You get hooked. It's 12 minutes of some guy skating in an oval, but you find yourself going, come on, right here. Okay, those last ones were 30-second ones. If this is 31 seconds, that's not good. Like, you start to treat yourself, as we've talked about before, like an expert. And, you know, I think that was going on during the men's hockey game. And I probably missed the entire second period because I was watching first him race and then Sven Kramer race to see if we were going to get the gold out of it. So
see, when I woke up, the men's hockey game was on, but, yeah, I didn't even realize there was a final going on. And then when I'm at the gym, I picked a cardio machine with TV on it.
Nice.
yeah, flicking through, finding something, and I saw that he was racing, and I'm like, oh, that's exciting. And then I saw his name, and I knew he had already won a gold. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll watch his race, not realizing it was going to be 12 and a half minutes long.
Yeah. Well, because you get into some of those. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was kind of hoping they were just going to kind of like, you know, speed track it through.
Here's the highlights.
And then they're showing the next race. I'm like, oh, crap, I have to wait like another 12 minutes to see him win here. So, yeah, it was kind of neat. I think I was on the treadmill. I slowed down to a walk at the end of it because it was just my cool down, 24 minutes.
I couldn't do 12 minutes of my legs were burning.
It was just thinking of his lactic acid.
That's right. Yep.
It was the end of my run.
Sure it was. Yeah, you know what? It was a cool thing. And now we're into some of these like short track relays where there's like 8 people out there at the same time on the smaller track. That's insanity. I love watching those. And we're into the men's hockey tournament as well. They had a big win against Switzerland to start. They'll be at it again tomorrow. We're going to try. We'll see what schedules look like. But at the end of the long weekend, you know, maybe Monday night, Tuesday morning, something, we'll see if we can drag Amy out again. If you want, you can follow Amy at BurkeAmy7 to see nothing for long stretches. You can follow us on Twitter at TallCanAudio or hit us up Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Amy, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, enjoy your long weekend for everyone that gets to have a long weekend.
It's true. That starts now. It's a family day, a not at all made up, very real holiday that we will all go to.
Islander Day in PEI this weekend.
Yeah, well, good for PEI. That's Talkan Sports, and we'll see ya.
Every day, in 50 million ways, I like to play with each cell of your brain. I call and say, yo, hello, hooray. I'd like to wake up a moment from
Remember
your smile.
The days when your laughter was meant. Remember the days when you did what you said. You count the days. Get high again, chill out, be easy on yourself till then. Every day, in 50 million ways, I like to play with each cell of your brain.